Welcome to Audio Articles. My name is Chris, and I am the editor of articles at Crossroads Church. I get to lead a team of writers who create original articles designed to help, encourage, and push our readers' lives forward. We take our favorite ones and we turn them into audio versions, you know, for the people who hate to read. I get it. Me too sometimes. Hey guys, this is Chris, and today I'm going to be reading my original article titled "The Common Man Who Stopped the Gladiator Games." So you may have seen the famous Gladiator movies with Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington, and maybe you've done some research on your own about the Gladiator Games that took place in Rome thousands of years ago. But for something that's so well known in our culture today, why did the games stop? Where did they go? In my article, I talk about the man of God who halted the Gladiator Games for good, and what it cost him to make it happen. Let's go. The Common Man Who Stopped the Gladiator Games, by Chris Pennington. This is the story of how one man turned sport into sorrow and gave spark to human dignity. It was roughly 391 AD, and the Gladiator Games had ruled Roman culture for some 700 years. The bloody duels between prisoners, slaves, and volunteer warriors, often held in the world-famous Colosseum, filled the grandstands. The violence and bloodshed weren't only a form of public entertainment, but used to mark important moments like military victories. 2,000 years later, it's easy to judge these games as barbaric, and they certainly were, but their impact still ripples through the millennia. I know I'm not the only one who's seen the Gladiator movies multiple times, and has cheered on what are thankfully great practical effects and not real death blows. The most powerful empire in the history of the world had committed itself to the Gladiator games for a millennium, so where did they go? Why aren't we hosting similar duels at Madison Square Garden right now? Humanity did not wake up on its own. It was shaken from its slumber by a follower of Jesus. Enter the ring, Telemachus. We don't know much about Telemachus, except that he was a 3rd century monk hermit living in the wilds of Asia. Coming to Rome on a spiritual pilgrimage, he happened into the city in the aftermath of an important military victory, finding the Gladiator Games revved up in fervor of a way to celebrate. Just a few hundred years after the life of Jesus changed Earth, Telemachus found himself on a collision course with Rome's culture of death for sport, and he was determined to bring it to an end. And Telemachus was not alone in his conviction. Generations of Christians had been speaking out against the games for years. As the fledgling faith spread across the Roman Empire, the biblical belief that all human life was sacred, because it was made in the image of God, rubbed up against the kill-or-be-killed spectacle in the Colosseum. It was also pretty difficult for these early Christians to reconcile the games with God's commands to not practice human sacrifice, not to murder, and to love your enemies. Despite the pushback, though, the matches raged on. But on this day, faith pushed Telemachus to take action. Hearing of a routine match in the Colosseum, Telemachus entered the arena, leapt down into the playing field, and sprinted between two gladiators, attempting to hold them back from one another. He then looked up to the crowd, as thousands of gladiators before him had done, this time, not to seek their approval to kill, but to call for life to win. Telemachus shouted, "Do not requite God's mercy in turning away the swords of your enemies by murdering each other." Among the bloodthirsty spectators, the 17-word sermon fell on deaf ears. They yelled back, "This is no place for preaching. The old customs of Rome must be observed. On, gladiators." The two fighters tried to continue, but Telemachus would not remove himself between them. He put himself in harm's way to physically demonstrate a spiritual truth. Their lives were more valuable than this deadly game. The gladiators, enraged with the interference, stabbed Telemachus. Moments later, the crowd began to hurl stones, or any other object they can get their hands on, at the dying do-gooder. As the dust settled and Telemachus lay slain before them, something in the crowd shifted. The horrible realization that they hadn't just cheered on a death, but had actively taken part in it, was impossible to escape. Shock gave way to remorse, which gave way to grief. They were murderers, or at least affirming bystanders, and a slain Telemachus was their clear and irrefutable evidence. According to Theodoret of Cyrus, an ancient theologian living a generation after Telemachus, from the day our hero Telemachus fell dead in the Colosseum, no other gladiatorial contests were ever held again. That means the last man to die in the Colosseum wasn't a bested warrior pleading for his life. It wasn't a hardened war hero at the end of his prime. It wasn't a young man searching for approval and glory from the crowd. It was a follower of Jesus, laying down his life as a sacrifice to save the lives of others. Looks like Jesus was right about his followers doing the things that he himself had done. John 14:12. The martyrdom of Telemachus was not a headliner of Gladiator 2. He wasn't mentioned in the now original classic, Gladiator, and his story will likely never hit the big screens. But his life and sacrificial death had a larger impact than any of those movies. By putting an end to the gladiatorial games, he likely saved thousands, if not more, of innocent lives, even if those lives were at times offered voluntarily and competitively. Telemachus believed what the God of the Bible said about the inherent value of life. No matter where we come from, what we look like, where our life has been, or where it's headed, there is a God who has his fingerprints on all of us. And that truth is not only worth dying for, it's worth living for. If you like this article, find lots more at crossroads.net/articles. We have hundreds of articles covering topics like parenting, football, dating, sex, current events, work, angels and demons, everything you could possibly think of, and so much more. Love it, hate it, or have an idea for an article, I would love to hear from you. Shoot me an email at articles@crossroads.net. Come back here regularly and make sure to subscribe so you know when the next episode drops. Give us a rating and review. It really helps introduce other people to the show. We will see you next time.